Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Ultra Universe Live, here with me, Rob Glasser. We have another fun episode for today. We're going to have our guests come on in just a quick moment here. Before then, we're going to kind of give you a rundown of what we do and give you some store stuff as well. So really quick, before we forget, we do have our awesome store with loads of nerdy goods. Who doesn't like a good cup of hot chocolate during the winter months, right? So you can check out this and many more items with the link to the site there. Secondarily, we do love our Books A Million, and right now they do have a 10% off $25 with the code you can see below. So just copy that into the link, and hopefully it'll stay up on the link. We will see. But we should be able to get you that as well. So there you go. That is that one. Now, for those who haven't seen this before, we do this all week. And we love to do these different videos. So today we are going to do a kind of throwback chat here on a show that we all grew up with and loved. We just love being nerds. So today we are going to talk about the Muppet Show, a long loved show that still around today, and it will be back again in different forms. But we're going to kind of go from the start and talk about a little what it was, what we had, or what it will be, and all that good stuff. So we're going to give our guy a minute here to pop on. I always try to make it where I aim at the right time, but you know, worked that one time. But yeah, I don't know. But it's fair, actually. We're just going to jump in and do the kind of the, you know, regular boring part right now. So for those who do remember, The Muppet Show was created by Jim Henson, started all the way back in 74, and really ran strictly first run into the 90s, 80s and 90s. From there, we had multiple versions, such as Muppets Tonight. Recently, Disney Plus made a show called The Muppets. And then, as I mentioned before, they're going to have a new one coming up. This was the show, if you were someone, if you weren't someone, you wanted to be on the show. It was just like Sesame Street, which makes sense because the Jim Henson Company created the characters or the puppets for Sesame Street as well. And this was an all-around family-friendly version of kind of like a Saturday Night Live, kind of like a You Can't Do That on Television. It was a variety show with puppets made for everyone. So it looks like our guy is getting set up really quick. So he disappeared. Where'd he go? Yeah, we'll give him a second to come on back. So that is the main breakdown of what the show was. It was strictly a variety show with puppets. And now, all the way back from Sesame Street, walking the mile like Big Bird, we have the awesome Damian Daz from What's the Deep podcast. Thank you so much for coming back and joining us, sir. We really love it having you on.
Of course. Love being here.
Thank you. I love that. All right. So you were very excited when I brought this up as one of the topics. So I will just jump right in there and ask, was this or is this still one of your all-time favorite shows, characters, all that stuff?
All of it. As soon as
that works well for me. Hey,
I've heard my parents have told me stories of like my fascination with like the Muppets that they had, like little puppets that they had when I was a baby. My dad would like do the voices of Oscar the Grouch and, you know, Telly, and you know, it was just I just always admired the puppets. I was always fascinated with it. When I lived in the UK, I found myself like applying to work at the Muppet Studios in the UK. Never got a job there, but that was a dream.
Darn. Well, you are right to love this thing. This is definitely one of the, well, longest running usually means it's never been canceled. This is kind of like a longest running thing that has always been around in different formats. So as I started out at the beginning before you popped on, I gave him a quick rundown of how it works. But the history is, history is not that different than other shows. But this history definitely takes into account the era of when it was out and the changes that were made. So as I mentioned earlier, back in 69-70, when it first kind of began, we actually really got the Muppets on Sesame Street first. And these are not necessarily the Muppets that we grew to love, but these were the original forms of some of the Muppets. But what many people don't know, I'm sure you know, because I know you're a big fan, there was a show, Sam and Friends, which had original versions of characters like Kermit, characters like Fozzie, and all of those guys there. But so this really did take a lot of time to really flesh out, which is odd because, you know, you look at Sesame Street, and Sesame Street has been on since God knows when, and it has no signs of stopping anytime soon. And other than the voices being different, because some of the puppeteers have passed away, some of them went on to other jobs, Sesame Street really hasn't changed much, right? Sesame Street, as far as I remember watching it as a kid, pretty similar, right?
Yeah, they use a standard pattern, essentially. They've evolved over time, obviously, including like languages and whatever, but
And
the fundamental has been the same.
Right, and I would say the biggest difference is obviously the topics they talk about. So obviously nowadays there's much more to discuss, whether it's political, cultural, person to person, whatever the case may be. Obviously back in the day, I'm sure there were as many issues as there were, but Sesame Street has definitely evolved with the times as far as what's important to people around us. They've added new characters, sexual orientation, of different cultural backgrounds, of different political backgrounds. I mean, they've added probably, I don't know, a good maybe 20 or 30 new Muppets in the past couple of years, right? You know, like, I don't know the number, but they've added so many new characters to fill in the gaps that are needed, probably were needed, but were never really thought of at the time. They were more, recently. Now, unfortunately, with the passing of both of them, the shift has gone to different people. Do you see any difference on the newer Muppets? Because I know a lot of it's more Disney now than we do with the original Muppets. Is there a big, big difference, or are they trying to keep it generic, if that's the right word?
I mean, it is this problem that Disney has, because I mean, like you were saying, that there's a vast difference between Sesame Street and what Jim Henson wanted from the Muppets itself. In fact, right after Sam and Friends, they had a special before they got the Muppet Show itself. There was a show called The Muppets. It was something with sex and something
in the title.
Sex and violence, right?
Because that sounds like Muppet episode right there.
Totally. But he wanted to make it really different because he wanted to have the Muppets geared towards adults mostly, which is where the Muppet Show came from. When you compare what Jim Henson wanted and what it evolved into and what Disney want now that they own the Muppets IP, I think it's a little different, like you're saying, a little generic. They're trying to find the peg of where it's going to fit. Because, you know, Disney is.
Oh. I think we lost him. He was making a very good point, too. We're going to give him a quick second to hop back on. Might be some, don't you love the, I think one of my guests called it the computer gremlins. Don't you just love that? I mean, it's funny. I was watching Gremlins last night, so. There he is. I love technology. All right, let's bring him back on. I was just talking about the computer gremlins that, you know, took over your...
I heard you the whole time.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I'm sure he can hear me now, maybe. I don't know. You have disappeared. This is fun. All right, let's see... All right, let's not jinx it. I will put you on screen.
I'm back.
I see. I was just saying, you're making a very good point, and then it just cut off, and I'm like, what was
he going to say? Yeah, so my point was that they're still trying to figure out what they want to do with the Muppets, because, you know, they have a lot of kids attracted to it, but they're putting out movies or planning on putting out movies that are geared towards adults. And then there's also that level of nostalgia as well.
Right.
You know, so it's hard. I mean, the biggest difference I see is the voice of Kermit. It's definitely not the same.
Voice of Kermit, I think Miss Piggy possibly.
A little bit less, but yeah.
Fozzie too. I mean, because then I we'll probably get into the side of it of, you know, we had the Muppet Babies, we had the Muppet Cartoons, which right. It turned out the people in there were totally different. Like, for instance, Dave Coulier played a bunch of Muppets, but he wasn't a Muppet. You know, he was a Full House guy. So and this was before even Disney, you know, did what they did. So they've gone through a lot of you know, crap, to say it nicely, but it definitely still feels, well, it should still feel like it's the original. My favorite, as I'm sure yours would be the original from, you know, I mean, I watched it in the 80s and 90s, but the original Muppet Show. Muppets Tonight was funny, didn't really have this, you know, they kind of MTV'd it up a little bit, they had more musical guests, they had more stuff like that, which was fine, not a big deal. And then, you know, they had the Muppets on ABC, which I think lasted maybe 3 weeks and then got canceled. Now Disney Plus has a new one coming. Who knows?
Which is clever. It's actually pretty good.
It's
better smart than the last few that they've tried.
No, I mean, I agree. It's smart, but until I actually see it, I don't want to say good or bad, because right. For all I know, it's going to be a horrible show with characters that I love. You know, I mean, well, you know, we'll see. So, as you mentioned, throughout UK as well, you know, this was all over the place. The Henson Studios had a niche going. Of course, remember Labyrinth. Of course, remember Dark Crystal. All of those movies had Muppet puppets. Say that five times fast in those movies. And even in the new Dark Crystal, I believe they went back to Henson Studios and asked whoever is working there now, hey, make some new creatures. I think they even went ahead and took some of the old costume creatures and brought them back. You know, probably had to sew up a few things. I'm sure they're
And they also actively chose to go the Muppet route, because there was the debate of like, should it be CG or not?
But they wanted to pay homage. Thank God for that they decided to stick to the original and just do puppets. It's funny, I was watching Gremlins the other day, and there's the scene where they're all coming out of the pool, and it's all claymation. And I know they're supposed to make a third movie, but Joe Dante, the director, he's like, screw you all. If you turn these into CGI, I will take my name off of it. You're going to have to make, like, he won't allow it to be a Gremlin movie. Like, you're going to have to make a whole movie. So it's good to see that they do it. I know when it comes down to money, they kind of give in because they want to still make money. But it's nice to see that somewhere around, a lot of these people stick to what they know well. And as I said, it's unfortunate that, you know, both of them have passed away, but he really did know his craft well. And if anybody has ever watched, you know, when he was on Johnny Carson's show and he would come on and do interviews, he knew what he was doing. This guy was good at puppets, and that was his thing. Yeah. And then his son came around, did the same thing. So, and we'll notice as we go through that they really, you know, they really made sure this was a good show. So, of course, the first part of every episode was the infamous, not can't get out of your head, Muppet Show theme song that everybody knows by heart. You know, Kermit Frog comes out, does his little intro, and all the Muppets come out and start singing. You even have Statler and Waldorf in the seats kind of like, you know, heckling the entire time. What is it about? I mean, I don't want to be too generic, because every theme song is good. What do we think is about this one that stands out above the crowd?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, the fact that it has still so much longevity. And what's interesting is when you think about the aesthetic of exactly that, the intro, I mean, the song is obviously catchy as well, but they were taking the same idea as Laugh-In. I forget the name of the full name, but it was like Romney's Laugh-In. If you remember that TV show, one with Goldie Hawn, and where she got her start. And they all like kind of like pop out, you know, and whatever. And they're doing very similar thing. And that was of the time. And so they they were of the modern culture and tapping into that. And it just stayed with us for, you know, till today. I think it was just such an iconic thing. And it was so unique for what it was at the time.
And I'm, well, according to what I'm reading, it's used basically as the theme for everything. Minus like Muppet Babies had its own theme song, but according to what I'm reading, every Muppet thing, movie, TV, whatever, this was what was playing near the beginning or some point of the thing. So this was the soundtrack, so to speak, of the Muppets. And this is one of those songs that, you know, people download on their Spotify. Like, I mean, this is because, you know, some theme songs are like, they're 30 second song and that's it. These theme songs that, I mean, the 90s was full of them. They were like full on, you know, minute, 2 minute songs. So these were like songs you could listen to that they literally got a band and they're like, hey, make us a song. And they made them a song. So that was how everything started out. Literally to the T, doesn't matter what episode it was. Every episode had, you know, like you said, the people coming out of the boxes, Kermit and everybody running across the stage. That was how it did. And I think the only difference was, I think the old guys might have had a different catchphrase at the end of the song. That might have been the difference. But as far as the actual opening, that's what it was. Now, speaking of where everybody was sitting, we remember that they were sitting in the Muppet Theater. And the entire show was being watched by what else? Other Muppets. This, and again, not until I really thought about this did I really realize how cool it was. This is a thing nobody's done, as far as I know, since then or even at that point. And what's funny about it is it's not full of people. It's full of puppets.
Right.
So let's go into that for a second. Does this fall into its own category, or is this maybe taken off of something else? Like you said, laughing with the intro, is this maybe taken off of something else for the time period?
That I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I know they filmed it separately. They didn't film it at the same time. So it was really lengthy in the way that they filmed in terms of like hours, because they had to film one on the stage and then separately the audience and move the cameras around. But I don't know if that was referencing anything. That might have just been Jim Henson and this idea.
That's what I'm thinking, because honestly, and I can't, you know, again, I don't watch a lot of, because it's funny, this is not a reality show, but this would be under the reality show benchmark because that's the format. But again, you know, Saturday Night Live, real people. Trying to think, you can't do that on television, on Nickelodeon, real people.
Yep.
I feel like this was kind of in its own thing. It could have been maybe that there wasn't enough people to maybe come in and do that. Or my personal preference is, like you just said, maybe it was what he wanted to do. Maybe he's like, let's just really go out of the box and just be like, whoa, let's just make puppets, you know. And it's silly and it's kind of dumb, but it's good. Like it's campy, but it's fun campy. It's like a B movie that you hate, but you gotta keep watching. And then of course later on we went to Muppets Tonight, which really kind of focused more on backstage. We got, what the hell was that guy's name? The Rastafarian character, who was-
I forget his name, yeah.
But he became the producer or whatever of the show. And he was running back and forth, trying to get people into their spots. It says that it might have been Scooter's uncle, because Scooter was basically the IT guy.
Right.
And that was Muppet Side. So they flipped the script on that one. You still got to see the Variety Hour, but it wasn't the outside, it was the inside. So you basically got to see, you know, Miss Piggy in her dressing room, Gonzo with all of his gadgets. So there was that. And then, of course, you had this version I hated, the Muppets on ABC. That was basically supposed to be like The Office, but with Muppets instead. It was that definitely, you know, is a Disney-fied thing. Disney trying to take a franchise and make it their own with characters. So what I'm hoping, again, is that whatever the new one is, it's more closely related to the original, not to what they recently did. I don't know if you watched it, but there is, was it Muppets Plus or whatever it was that just came out, and it's short segments, and they have celebrities on, and they have different people.
A Muppets Now.
Muppets Now, thank you.
Yeah,
that one was good. It's interesting. It's not fully my cup of tea, But at least it tries to stick to the variety hour. My problem is just how they segment it out. It's too much on a laptop, and it's not enough theatrical for me.
They've modernized it by having the text bubbles and the desk space of Scooter being the manager, but now he's the social media manager.
Exactly. So that's where we're at now. So we'll see. And maybe later on as we go through, we'll discuss more of the new one. But that's kind of where we're at now. So really, my cup of tea is really the original, all that. Of course, the characters, too many to list, but basically all of your favorite Muppets plus more were in these episodes. And then again, for those of you, I'm sure you as well, Muppet Treasure Island, Great Muppet Caper, Muppet Christmas Carol, Wizard of Oz, all the Muppets come back and they play various roles. And that's another thing, and it's kind of a side note, but that's another thing Muppets did well. They were able to take a story that might be kind of boring or might be kind of old, and they really made it hilarious by you. I mean, Christmas Carol was hilarious with Gonzo and Rizzo narrating the entire story. That was great.
Yeah, like, it was so clever. And it did well in the theaters too. People really responded to that one.
And then, you know, I think it was Ashanti who played Dorothy in Wizard of Oz. And then you had like Fozzie being the lion. Kermit was the scarecrow. It was very cleverly done. And what made it interesting to me is that you didn't have to just read the story. It was definitely it was almost like a new version of the story. It didn't, you know, it followed the plot, but
it brought something to it.
A Muppet version. Right. All right. So next up, and this part again, there's so many to name, the guest people. Ooh, we're getting a nice little view.
Oh yeah.
We charging the computer again?
We're charging. I forgot the cable again.
No worries. All right. So, obviously, the biggest thing here, and this is any variety show, the guest stars. And as I mentioned before, you popped on. Anybody who was famous, or maybe not as famous, but is famous now, was on this show. So not limited to, but some of them we have Steve Martin, Harvey Korman, Rita Moreno, Dom DeLuise, moving on to people like Elton John, Diana Ross.
Bob Denver.
There you go. So the first
John Denver, Bob Denver.
John Denver. Denver. It's his brother, right? you know, then you had people like Don Knotts, Vincent Price. So originally you started out with the people from older TV and movies. You had movie stars, you had singers, all that. As it got on, you know, my favorite, because I'm a Star Wars freak, and James Bond.
Oh, they had the whole cast.
Mark Hamill and Roger Moore on separate episodes doing James Bond and Star Wars, respectively. As it kind of got more recent, you know, even going up to the new one on Disney, you kind of got actors that maybe were doing it just because they were a name, but not necessarily because they fit the script. So I will throw it to you. Do you think the Muppets in the 80s had a better selection of guest stars, or do you like the guest stars they have now?
I mean, I think it's kind of relevant. It's all relevant of like who was popular at that time. You know, who's to say that some of those people that were on the show then didn't become the legends that we know them to be now, you know? You know, 'cause some of them were like just getting their start. Maybe not necessarily like Don Knotts or John Denver or like some of those classic people. But you know, Goldie Hawn, as I mentioned, or, you know, some other people that it was some of their first gigs, you know, or just one of their first few gigs.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I think I like those better, because they were kind of nobody. They were somebody, but they weren't really big.
Right. Had more fun with it too. It wasn't as.
And I think you think you wanted to be on it. Like, you know, today, and again, like, I am not a fan of SNL at all, but I noticed today when they pick a person, it's really the guy or girl who's like large right this second. And it's kind of forced. It's kind of annoying. And that's kind of the reason I don't want to watch it, because I know who they are. Half of the time, I don't really care who they are because they're not a favorite actor of mine. But mostly it's just like, okay, we get it. You're trying to pick the big name right now, but just pick anybody. You know, like Mark Hamill is a perfect example, because, you know, Star Wars was there. it was still new. He himself, I mean, you know, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, I know were kind of a little bigger. Mark Hamill was kind of the youngin' of the group. And that was the best episode ever because he was still kind of getting his feet into it. I don't know. I mean, I get, you're right. I guess it's the time. It depends on who you ask. I know a lot of people would prefer the new people now because that's who they know. I can't get my head around it now because I don't, you know, maybe they don't like the people. Maybe it's because they're not my favorite actors. I don't know. I feel like they're doing things that they don't have to do because they're running out of good ideas. And, you know, I don't mean this badly to Disney, but no offense to them. They try hard to do things that don't work.
Right.
They just do it anyway. And I'm like, okay, I know you're Disney, but just, I feel like a broken record here. I don't know.
No, I mean, those are all great points. I mean, to answer your question, I say that it was, the guest celebrities were better then because of everything we're saying now. They had the ability to make more fun. It wasn't as put into a package with an ulterior motive of, you know, somebody being on that show because they're trying to promote something else, you know?
And I hate, you know, it's funny, but it's not when they're like, oh, I'm not here to do any promotion, but you know, that's why they're there. And it just like, you're like, okay, that's not a funny, it was never a funny joke to begin with. And now you're just making it like, I don't know. it's sad, but true. What are you going to do? All right. So the next part is some of the normal sketches. Now, granted, being that it was on so long and being it was a kid's show, they were able to do regular sketches. Some of them were things like the Swedish Chef that everybody knows and loves. Rolf playing his piano with Fozzie and kind of always getting interrupted. My favorite, Veterinarian's Hospital, which was a spoof of General Hospital, which I'm sure they loved being spoofed, right? Pigs in Space, which of course goes back to the Star Wars thing again. So first off, was there any sketch that you really love that you remember?
I always loved the celebrity part. When they were back in the theater behind the stage and they just like were trying different things before they went out onto the the stage, like Fozzie preparing new tricks or whatever. Those are my favorite. I always love to see how they interacted with the humans, interacted with the Muppets.
Well, it brings up a point though, because I love how they were being told off by the Muppets, and it was freaking hilarious because like the Muppets were saying these to them, and you could tell the celebrities wanted to like say something that probably was not appropriate for the show, and they were just like, "How do I respond to a guy with a hand in the thing?" Like
because it was so improv,
And again, most of these actors, they did more hardcore is the wrong word. They did more, you know, comedy, adult comedy that wasn't appropriate for, you know, like when you're like Steve Martin and Martin Short on, they do a lot of things that they're okay, but they're not necessarily family friendly. So you could definitely tell that they were trying to be funny without, you know, pissing off the rating system.
Producers,
thank you. So I give you that was funny. I kind of did like the in between. Just because it was so impromptu, nobody knew it was happening, and it lasted all for maybe like 10 seconds, and then you just went on the next skit. You're like, what just happened there? Like, Gonzo would just like shoot out of a cannon and then just go on to the next thing, like nothing, like wait, nothing happened here? Like, where'd he go? And then you find out later he was like stuck in the rafter somewhere.
It's like the behind the scenes thing that was just so fascinating to me, you know, and how unique is it to see, you know, Muppets that were. You know, putting on a show, and you see them behind the scenes putting on the show, and how they're, you know, creating that dialogue and also being improv as well. It was just so clever.
So I will definitely not ask us our favorite episode because for the life of me, I cannot remember a single bad episode.
No.
For sure. But if anybody is interested, Amazon Prime and iTunes, you can download these episodes. I think you can buy the seasons as well. I think if you buy a season, you get like, I don't know, 10 discs or whatever, and each of them have a character. Oh, John Cleese is one of my favorite ones too. When John Cleese, hilarious.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, there were some that, you know, like Dudley Moore, not one of my favorite guys, you know, I didn't find it funny, but it was still, you know, it's still humor. So there were a couple times that maybe not the greatest episode, but the Muppets made up for it. So I was like, the host, the guest could be crappy. But hey, Kermit and the Game.
They still had some good entertainment, right?
Exactly.
It didn't make me want to turn it off.
So interesting enough, and I don't know how true it is, as far as the soundtrack goes, it looks like the only chart it was ever on was in Australia, which I guess is not that odd here. I know for a while, because my mom was in the music, kids' music industry, there was like a chart strictly for kids' artists. And it wasn't necessarily related to, you know, Billboard and stuff like that. So I have a feeling that maybe when it comes to the music, it's not necessarily something you're going to be finding on a regular station, which might explain why it wasn't listed on a top 10 soundtrack list.
Right.
But I do know that for all the movies and all the shows out there, there are plenty of CDs and digital copies of music, but I think it's in its own niche of sound that it's not classified as a music type, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like kids' music, I think, is classified separately than rock, pop, hip hop, whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'll have to look at that and see if that's true or not. But I'm apparently in the Australia chart and only ranked up at 39 out of 100. But again,
which song? Was it a specific song or was it like an album?
Kent Music Report, which was a weekly record of Australian music, started in 74 through 1999. So obviously this report is no longer around, but I guess for the time being, this was the place to be for that type of thing. So we'll look into that afterwards, see if we can find out. We'll pop it up on the video afterwards if we can find it. Now moving on to the awards. Oh, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to say that Rolf was, there was something where he was recognized as a musician or some sort of thing. I forget what it was, but I know he was like the only Muppet to be recognized.
Oh, actually, I think he has a CD. I think there's like, I don't know if it's a reel, but I think there's like a soundtrack of Rolf playing the piano.
Yes. Yes, I remember having that record. I mean, I had a bunch of Muppets records.
I gotta look that up, but I think it's I will post it on the comments afterwards just for the quote. Okay, so moving on to awards now. And this one, surprisingly or not surprisingly, was kind of limited to strictly TV awards. Mm-hmm. You know, again, the Muppet movies probably were not up for any grand gestures. I'm sure during those years there were big budget movies that were, you know, up here, Muppet movie is probably somewhere.
Yeah, but not enough to garner like an Oscar.
Exactly. So most of the awards that we're going to, and I'm just going to go over the ones that they won, but they were nominated for many. So first off, for the Primetime Emmy Awards, in 77, they got Outstanding Continued Single Performance by Supporting Actress, as well as Outstanding, oh, I'm sorry, that was, okay, so in 77, they got Outstanding Performance for a Female Artist. That was for the episode Rita Moreno.
Rita Moreno, yep.
Which makes a lot of sense. In 78, they got Outstanding Comedy Variety Series for Music, and that was strictly for The Muppet Show. In 1980, Outstanding Videotape Editing, John Hawkins, for the episode Liza Minnelli. So that one, that there. And then, let's see, 81, Outstanding Writing, for the episode with Carol Burnett, which makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah,
there.
Of course. Yes, absolutely.
So those were the prime time. So off the bat right there, we had Carol Burnett, Liza Minnelli, and the Rita Moreno episode.
Rita Moreno.
Not surprising. Even to this day, I know, I think, well, Carol Burnett, I think, is still alive. I think Liza Minnelli passed away, or is she still alive?
No, she's still alive. All of them are still alive.
So Rita. Oh, okay. So they're still alive, probably not doing what they did before, but for the focus of this, they were the big shots. I mean, when it came to leading women, those three were like the people to do. Carol Burnett obviously had multiple shows, Liza Minnelli, the music, Rita Moreno, comedy galore. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. So, I mean, obvious question, shocker or no shocker? I mean, this is not, right?
I'm surprised that there weren't more, to be honest.
Well, they were. So, for instance, Kenny Rogers got a nomination for the episode, Alan Arkin, Brooke Shields, Dom DeLuise, Elton John. So a lot of them got nominated, but not all of them won the award. So maybe just because of the writing of those three women, maybe because of those three women, I don't know. Right. Something about their episodes made the day. Of
Exactly. Yeah, and also a matter of timing of what other people are putting out at the same time that Right.
So, and again, you know, Elton John, Dom DeLuise, Alan Arkin, all great actors, musicians, everything. No problem. It just, I think you're right. Timing is key. And it's kind of like speak of Elton John, because the movie just came out, Rocketman. That movie harnessed much better now because it is such a classic. The music is such a classic. Mm-hmm. If he had made that movie back then, I don't think anybody would have cared because he was still Big Show.
Blowing, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. So, it wasn't legend yet.
Exactly. Right. Thank you. He wasn't a legend at that point. There you go. Right. So that is there. Next up, other random awards. So 1977, Best Light Entertainment Program, spelled with an E at the end. So I think this was a British award. They won 77, as well as in 78, they won for, again, British program series as well. Difference, though, in 77, the show won. In 78, Jim Henson won the award. So I we can probably postulate a little bit on that. Again, I see a couple of these episodes with John Hawkins, who I believe was one of the editors. He won the award. So do we think there's a reason that sometimes they won for the show and sometimes they won for the individual creator?
It's a fair question. I think that, again, it's just back to timing of what it was up against. You know, if it stood out compared to other ones, it's going to win. If not, it's going to, you know, miss out. But the fact that they were still recognized and nominated is, you know, fantastic. I think Jim Henson should have deserved a lot more awards.
Well, you know, and funny enough, in 79, he got a Grammy, a Peabody, and a Golden Camera. The Grammy and Golden Camera were actually his. The Peabody actually went to the Henson Company in general. So maybe it was just a matter of law there. Maybe it was just like, okay, you know, we can't make it all too much for one person. There is an entire crew that does this. Maybe, and again, I'm being nice. I don't know how, you know, movie business is not friendly as far as I've heard. Maybe it was just a matter of, okay, we'll give Jim Henson a good chunk, but let's give the Henson company a nice big chunk as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? The last official awards were in 79. I don't remember when he passed away, but I think it was pretty shortly after, because I know he was already.
No.
I'll
never forget it. It was, I think, 92. Him and I share the same birthday, so I always I felt connected to him.
Yeah, kindred spirits there.
Yes, him and Sammy Davis Jr. died on the same day, and I'll never forget it. I was just like so devastated. And I was a kid. I was like 12.
You got the spunky music, and you got the puppet guy all connected too. You know.
Yeah. Yep.
You have it all right inside. You should just go have a one man puppet band with the music and the.
Oh, that'd be amazing. And then you'd be like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins with like the drum and the.
Oh my god, we're making a movie right now, I swear.
Let's do it. I'm ready down.
I know, right? we'll get the numbers. All right. So I think maybe just for the sake of what it was, I know a lot of, you know, people get mad and like, oh well, why did the movie win and not the person? I think it's just a matter of movie rules. I think they're trying to make it even. It doesn't work out, you know. No offense to DiCaprio. Everybody was mad when he kept winning everything himself and nobody got anything else.
Yeah.
Dude doesn't really deserve much. It's just a matter of he's the big guy. He's the person. You know, everybody's being safe. I'm sorry. People are being safe when it comes to who they're picking for these awards. But I do agree, when it comes to Henson, and unfortunately, you know, like his son died very early. I think it was congenital heart failure or something like that. He, too, also deserved awards. I don't know if he got any particularly, but I know I agree with you. When it comes to Jim Henson, for sure, he definitely needed more than what he got. Maybe posthumously he got more. I don't know. But that dude started what it was. I mean, puppetry is Henson, I think. That's just, you know.
Totally. That's the first thing you think of when you think of puppets in general.
Yeah, of course. Other than that, just the nightmare fuel, creepy ones from around the world, which honestly, those guys should be shot. I'm sorry. You know, I don't need to see that kind of thing on my television, especially when it's aimed at five-year-olds. That is not appropriate puppetry. But I agree. Back in 85, Playhouse Videos was the first time they opened up the Muppet video banner, and that's when we first got to see these videos. So, of course, there was the Muppet Review, favorite Muppets in the show, Muppet Kermit and Piggy story, children's songs, rock music, Muppet Treasures. This is where I think, where you're talking about, the Rolf CD. This is where all this stuff started coming.
Yeah.
they were smart. They knew well, and they did it correctly. They took every individual thing they could, and they got into it. It was CDs. Yep. It was
all over.
Toys, video games, you name it, they did it. So that was that. In 93, then we started getting into the VHS, DVD, and then, of course, later on, the digital copies. So Muppets, I got to say, I know I'm usually not a fan of selling out, but I think because the Muppets stuck to their guns and they really only used their own product, I think they did better than most of them. Now, my flip side, because obviously you're talking about celebrities who may not be okay with this, you do have to take into account, you know, like the Rita Morinos, the Steve Martins, the Martin Shorts. Are they okay being sold out while the Muppets sells their videos? So if you were in that business, what do you think? Do you think it's okay to just sell out your stuff because you can? Or do you think they should have maybe said, hey, we got all these guest stars. Let's at least go to the chunk that are big and say, hey, we're going to use your image. What do you want out of it?
I think, in all honesty, I think it was probably a business choice. I don't think that they were as popular at the time enough that where they needed to just make some changes in order to keep the company afloat, you know?
All right. I mean, that's fair for any, you know, anything. I mean, again, I really don't like when people take advantage of using other resources, but
yeah,
because the Muppets were kind of in their own little world as it was, it's hard to think you wouldn't do it. Now, let's flash forward to like Marvel or DC or Star Wars. I don't necessarily have a problem with them making stuff, but they're taking advantage of the other companies to do so. You know, think about it, in the 90s, McDonald's, Domino's, Blockbuster, those were the go-to to put your product on.
Right.
It's now become a little frustrating that you can't really Google McDonald's, for instance, without getting ads for every movie coming out.
Right.
Again, bad-mouthing Disney, but Disney does it the worst. Anytime they have a character, you make a toy. Where does that toy end up in? A freaking Happy Meal. It's, you know, so I'm very on the edge. I'm okay with it, but there are parts of it where I think, you know, maybe they gave in and sold out a little bit. But it was, you know, it was a different time. They started selling these in the 70s. Who knows? I mean, I did a video with another guest about, you know, toys of the 80s. And, you know, half of the toys we talked about were franchise toys. You know, it's unfortunate there's so little originality that when you do make a product, it is something already.
We can also consider the time frame. I mean, the 90s were merchandising was just massive. And if you weren't on board, then you were, you know, a sinking ship because, you know, when the show came out, they weren't as, you know, big in the 70s and 80s, maybe the 80s, late 80s is when like people getting really crazy about getting merchandise and all those products that you mentioned. That they had to get on board somehow.
Right.
So, you know, is it selling out? Yeah, probably. But I think there's also a level of, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Another day at work. Click, you know, beat the clock. All right. Well, I think we definitely delved pretty into it. As I mentioned, I mean, if anybody wants to go back and check them out, the affiliate that we use, Books A Million, they have all these DVDs. So go check them out. But generally speaking, I mean, the Muppets will live forever. Maybe we'll come back again and, you know, when the new show comes out and see what's up there. But yeah, I mean, go check out Muppets Now. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like it.
You know, but I definitely think that if you really want the Muppet feeling, where is it?
I was going to say the other show on Disney Plus is the Alien talk show. That's really good. Earth to Ned, yes.
Yeah, there you
really
go.
Good.
Which I think like is also a Jim Henson creation as well. He basically, you know, he pokes fun at interviews and basically interviews famous people for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, but he beams them up, so they have no idea that they're there.
It's exactly. Yeah. But I mean, if you want the original experience, go check out the show. I wouldn't be surprised if you search deep into Disney Plus, they might have some episodes, maybe not yet, I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they're going to show up on Disney Plus at some point. But
I think they're trying.
But as of now, I'm pretty sure Prime, Netflix, Hulu, if you go to them, they probably have something of the sort. And of course, if all else fails, just go to YouTube. They have everything. because they're YouTube. Yay for YouTube.
You can probably find all the Muppets movies on Disney Plus with the exception of Muppets Take Manhattan, because I had to find that on another network only because I found out that they were distributed. That movie was distributed by another company and they are not friends with Disney for some reason. So they're still waiting for the right
thing. Nobody wants to be friends with Disney.
It's probably the same thing with Muppets, you know, the Muppets show.
I love it. They're not friends. Nobody wants to be friends with Disney. Nobody. But you do at the same time. Like, you want the money. You just don't want to be friends. We're going to get hassled for this, I'm sure.
You want full control.
I know, right? All right. So we had a good time. I appreciate you coming on. We will hopefully get you back next week as well. If you guys haven't already, go check out his podcast at What's the D. The link will be down below, where they talk about all Disney stuff all the time, 24/7. You can call him at any time. No, I'm just kidding.
And if you haven't, we got new episodes next year.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so you gotta wait for 3 more weeks. Whatever.
Yeah, we'll catch up on the other episodes.
He always has a response to anything I say, so just go do what he says. If you haven't already, though, because we are streaming live on YouTube, go subscribe there. You can check out all the old videos, as he just said, on mine. You can check out the videos as well as Facebook and Instagram at the bottom of the screen. As always, guys, it is super windy over by me. My allergies do not like me right now. I'm like, so stay safe, stay healthy. I know SoCal, again, just is another whatever, so just do your thing. Be careful, be safe, be healthy, and of course, stay nerdy. May the Force be with you all. Bye, guys.